You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Nurson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 11, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. Excuse me. Everybody's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're on the air with a live SoundCloud and Truth Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America. And then I invite everybody who comes to come up to the altar one by one, and I pray for you individually. The Holy Spirit chooses what He will say through me. Sometimes He works in the wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. And because the healer's in the house, many times before I could pray for someone to be healed, they're already healed because the anointing destroys the yoke. That's happening more and more and more. See, Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. What has been will be again. We are now beginning to be the church just like in the books of Acts, just before Jesus comes. Amen. Okay, that's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. By the way, we also have deliverance from drugs and alcohol, so feel free to bring those. We love them and we don't give up on them. You're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, and Truth Social taping. I am in Suntree, Florida. Excuse me. I'm right beside Scott versus the Produce Place. The Amazing Grace Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there. Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. We buy the truth and sell it not. Okay. Now, we've learned that the book of Hebrews is God's school to His church. He takes us from kindergarten to be a college graduate because the Antichrist is about to come. The devil pretending to be Christ. And then Jesus comes. And when Jesus comes at the seventh trump, the second advent, He's coming back for a church, a bride without spot and without blemish. Now, let me set the stage for you without blemish. In Hebrews chapter 10, God had told Moses to make a tabernacle in the wilderness like the one in heaven, a tabernacle, a temple, or a sanctuary. And, of course, it had to be a tent because they were moving. They were moving out of slavery from Egypt through the wilderness toward the promised land. They made the tabernacle out of lambskin. Now, in the book of Revelation, in the future heaven on earth, we're not going to need a tabernacle or temple because the Lamb is a temple thereof. So that was signifying that that was Jesus. It had three sections. It had an outer court. The people would go there to worship. Then it had a veil. It separated the outer court from the inner court, and that's where the high priest would go to do his thing. Then there was a second veil, and behind that veil was the Holy of Holies. There was the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat. And once every year, the human high priest appointed by God would take the blood of bullocks and goats and different things, animals, and go and place it on the mercy seat there. And it was a substitute, temporary, a sacrifice for sin. However, some thousand years later, on Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ, my Savior, weary and lorn. And they nailed Him to the old rugged cross. Jesus took everybody's sin for all time. And when He was about to leave His body, He said, "It is finished." The tabernacle was then in Jerusalem. That veil separating the Holy of Holies was so high, nobody could reach it. So thick, you couldn't tear it. But it rent from top to bottom. And then Jesus, the Lamb of God, went to heaven and put His precious blood on the mercy seat. And the blood will never lose its power. Amen. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart, to your heart. Why is it necessary for you to be led of the Holy Spirit? Why is it necessary for you to be led of the Holy Spirit?
Verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin.
Now, if you are saved for real, you would have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you don't have that, when I give the altar call, you better come up and get saved. See, you're not saved just because you go to church and because you're nice, just like you're not a fish because you jump into a fish pond. And so, therefore, you'll want to know that you, if you are really saved and sanctified, that you are yourself a priest. Revelation 1 says God has made you a king and a priest to himself. So every day of your life, if you're the real thing, before you go out the door, you go by yourself, you turn off all noise, you get your Bible, and you read the Word of God, because that is God's voice, and you listen to him, and you talk to him. You don't have to get saved all over again, but what you do, Christians do sin. So every day of your life as a Christian, you ask him to reveal any sin in you, you confess that sin, and you repent of that sin, and that's why you do it over and over again, because you keep on messing up, don't we all? Okay.
Verse 12, but this man,
Jesus,
after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God.
Jesus went back to heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. He's our great high priest ever living to make intercession for us.
Verse 13, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool.
Forevermore his enemies are his footstool. Now the truth is, your enemy, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's not a lion, he's an old snake. But you see, he was defeated when Jesus defeated death. The death's name is the devil in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. However, Jesus has got the devil on a leash, because the devil still has to test everybody to see if they're going to love Jesus or love the devil. But after the great white throne judgment, that devil and all of his ilk and everybody who's lost will walk into the lake of fire. And that is when Jesus' enemy will be under his foot.
Amen.
Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Now, sanctified means a real Christian who is baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, everything about your life is God. I want you to examine yourself. Are you really, really, really saved? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're not led by the Holy Spirit. So, of course, you're not saved. Okay, the real sanctified ones.
Verse 15, whereof the Holy Spirit is also a witness to us. For after that he had said before, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them.
Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. Who is God? God is a spirit, John 4. And God is holy. God is Holy Spirit. How many gods are there?
One.
Deuteronomy, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. One God in three different offices. God the Father, Yahweh. God the Son, Yahweh's Savior, Yeshua Jesus. God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ruach, the wind, the air, the breath of God. These three are one, John tells us in his epistles. Now, God has always been. He was never created. He's always been. And the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, were always together for a long period of time, a happy Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They were together there, and they were happy. And all of them, all three offices, were spirit. They were even all together in Genesis chapter 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God the Father, Yahweh, El, Elohim, the Creator, said, "Let there be light." So God the Son turned on the light. He's the Logos, he's the Word, and Jesus was the light. And now everything's not dark anymore, spiritually speaking. And then the Spirit moved on the face of the deep, and that was the Holy Spirit. See, they were always together. The Godhead, what a happy triune family in Jesus' name. Now, along the way, God decided to create some children. But because God is a spirit, all the children were in spirit. And that means every human being that's ever been created, right here, right now, ever been and ever will be. You say, "But wait a minute, we're in a flesh body." Well, we were not in a flesh body. You want some proof on that, don't you? Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. Now, when we die, our spirit returns to God who gave it. When you return, you were there before. So we had the Trinity there in spirit, and the children were in spirit. And that was wonderful. And they had never been separated, the Holy Trinity, always. For these are one. But something happened. There was a covering cherub there, Isaiah 14, called Lucifer. He was beautiful and wise and smart. But one day, iniquity was found in him. He became prideful and rebelled against God and said, "I will be God." Wow, that's called the catapult. He overthrew God's kingdom, and catapult is Greek. And then, that's not bad enough, he deceived one-third of God's children, angels, Revelation 12, not Michael and not Gabriel, children of God minus the flesh, one-third of those. Uh-oh, now God's got a conundrum. The wages of sin is death. God didn't want to kill his children. He wanted to give them a second chance. But what would the Godhead do? The three got in a huddle, and Yeshua the Son stepped up and said, "I will be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world." Foundation, Greek, catapult, Satan's rebellion. Well, God said, "That's great, Son, but we got to do something about these people. Let us make man in our image. Let us make each one a flesh body." So everybody's been coming through one time in the flesh. But that won't pay your sin debt. Jesus took a body too, through the Virgin Mary. And he came and paid our sin debt for us. He died in our stead. Jesus arose from the dead. And after he arose from the dead, Jesus went back to heaven. And now what's going to happen? Another one of the Trinity's got to leave the family. Holy Spirit comes. Now we got God the Father, God the Son, but the Holy Spirit is here. So just before Jesus was crucified, he explained to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. For homework, please read all of John 14 and all of John 16. John 14, John 16. When I refer to it, I'll probably just say John. John 14, John 16. Jesus said, "I'm going to leave you, but I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you a comforter, even the Spirit of Truth. I will send you the Holy Spirit." And they were sad. He said, no. It is expedient for you that I go. It is absolutely necessary. If I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't go, won't come to you. Well, why in the world do you need the Holy Spirit? Why is it necessary for you to be led by the Spirit? Well, first of all, Romans 8:14, if you're not led by the Spirit, you're not saved. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay. First of all, we find that in John 14, John 16, he says that the Holy Spirit is your paraclete. You say, "What's a paraclete?" A paraclete, he says, the Holy Spirit will be in you and dwell with you. A paraclete is your counselor, your advocate, your lawyer. A lawyer, if you got a case coming, says, "Don't you open your mouth. I'm going to speak for you." The lawyer says, do that, don't do that, go there. The Holy Spirit tells us, say that, don't say that, don't give that, go there, pray that. And just like in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples, the Paraclete, who is your lawyer, speaks for you. The Holy Spirit fell on them, and they spake with tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. So in other words, you have the Paraclete, you have his language, and that is going to greatly enhance your life and equip you. Secondly, it is necessary for you to be led by the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said in John 14, greater things than Jesus can you do, because he goes to the Father. Goodness gracious, we can do greater things than Jesus. He's the potter, we're the clay. We're certainly not greater than he is. Why is that? Well, when Jesus left heaven's glory, he was omnipotent. I mean, he hung out the heavens with his hands. I go to the window and hang out these blinds, and you can see that. Look at the hands. I mean, that's omnipotent power. But when he came here, took a flesh body, he emptied himself of his omnipotent power. In other words, he was in a flesh body. And if you remember, he would walk 50 miles this way, 50 miles that way, to witness, to minister to people. He would go to this city and go to that city. But when the baptism came on the apostles, 11 of those, because one betrayed him, and then later on Apostle Paul, the church began to expand. Now, the Holy Spirit was not watered down. In other words, if you were saved, like at Pentecost when Peter preached there, if you're really saved, you spoke in that language. That is the evidence that you're saved. See, it's been watered down and dumbed over. And so then the church was built, and down through the centuries that church is there. And now all over planet Earth, we've got men and women and some boys and girls. Not all people who call themselves Christians, but the real sanctified ones have the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. And he told you to do the same thing. But you cannot do it unless you have the Holy Spirit, because then you would just be dead works. But now, all over the planet, wherever there's a Christian baptized with the Holy Spirit, people can heal and raise the dead. Lots of that. You see, that's what he meant by that. Okay. You have the Paraclete. You got your lawyer. You can do greater things than Jesus because the Holy Spirit's in you. And number three, we're the generation of the fig tree. We will usher in the second coming of Jesus, but some will die. Anyone who dies before Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:11, will raise you from the dead. In other words, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal body by the same Spirit. Isn't that beautiful to know? So no matter what, you immediately have eternal life. That's why 1 Thessalonians 4 says we cannot precede our loved ones. They've already resurrected. Number four, it is necessary for you to be led by the Holy Spirit, because John tells us, John 14, John 16, he says that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. What is truth? John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Now, a lot of people who say they're Christians try to read the Bible. And so I don't understand it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Before I went blind, I studied Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, and every word of God from the original languages. Thank God I recorded, so I'm still studying that way. And I still study. But every now and then I say, Father, there's more to this word than I've been taught. And guess what? I ask the Holy Spirit, and he flashes it to me. So see, he will guide you into all truth. Now, when you start to witness to somebody, because every Christian is a minister of reconciliation, you're supposed to win souls to Jesus. You don't win them by giving your testimony. You don't win them by telling them about the rapture theory. You win them by telling them the word of God. But if you do not have the Holy Spirit, the letter killeth, but the word giveth life. So if the Holy Spirit's on you, the Holy Spirit will quicken that word, so probably then they will be saved. And let's see, number five, God guide you with the Holy Spirit. Number five, the Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come, convicts you. Now, every one of you, if you're really saved, before you were saved, you suddenly were convicted of sin. In other words, if you thought, I'm a nice person, you said, you are not so nice. I mean, I'm looking sweet and nice and go to church, but I'm criticizing that person's clothes and hair, and I gossip about people. No, you're filthy sin. You were convicted of sin. That's how you got saved. If you don't get convicted, you can't get saved. But as a Christian, if you're really saved, the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sins now, because you got to keep your slate clean. If you're a Christian and don't ever repent of your sins, boy, they stack it up. You better look out on Judgment Day. In other words, every day when you go before Him, you ask the Holy Spirit to shine a spotlight on you. You confess that sin and you repent. Thank goodness that the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. Amen. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Number six, the Antichrist is about to appear. He's a fake Christ. He comes before Jesus. He's a devil calling himself Christ. The whole world will worship him. Half the body of Christ will call him Jesus and worship him. Matthew 25, the five foolish virgins. Only one half of the Christians alive right now will not be deceived by him. But that's the five wise virgins in Matthew 25. But they're going to be delivered up to the Antichrist. And guess what? If you are led by the Holy Spirit, Luke chapter 12, the Holy Spirit, when you're delivered up to him, will speak through you in the tongue, the language of the Holy Spirit, just like Pentecost. The Holy Spirit will speak everybody's language in the whole wide world. And not one gainsayer can say, that's not true. Not the wisest professor in Harvard, but I'm not so sure they're wise anymore with all this, a man can have a baby kind of stuff. Not anybody can say anything against it. And the gospel will be preached to the whole wide world. But when you're delivered up, because you won't worship him, if you do not let the Holy Spirit speak through you, it is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, is your unforgivable sin, Luke chapter 12, is unpardonable. And you will have to walk into the lake of fire with the devil. Number seven, it is necessary for you to be led by the Holy Spirit, because you will pray perfect prayers. Don't you wish that when you prayed that you would get the answer every time? Don't you want that? Yep. Prayer, when prayed correctly, gives you supernatural power. Amen. Above this human body. But we don't know how to pray as we ought, do we? Romans 8:26. But the Holy Spirit will intercede for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That means the language. We got to explain that he does. And then we pray according to Father's will. And then when you pray for your family, your friend, your job, your business, your pastor, that lost person, then you pray it correctly, and then you get the answer. The eighth reason that you need to be led by the Holy Spirit is because the Holy Spirit equips you to live the Christian life. Without the Holy Spirit, you are just walking on old dirt there and falling down all the time. You don't win souls to Jesus. You say you love him, but you have no power. He gives gifts of Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. One of the first gifts he gives is the word of knowledge. That is when he would tell a person something and they weren't even thinking about it. Let me give you a very recent example. Last Wednesday, as I do every day of my life, all my life, I pray for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, intercessory prayer. Some I know and all over the world, I pray for them. It goes on for hours. When I finish Wednesday, as I always do, I said, Holy Spirit, is there anybody else in the world for whom I should pray? Quicker than I could bat my eye, he said, Ivana Trump. That was Wednesday. Now, I am the Secret Service prayer warrior for President Donald John Trump and all of his family, Don Jr., Eric, and Ivanka, and all of them. God called me to pray for them. So I pray for them all the time. But I had never prayed for Ivana Trump. That's his first wife. That is the mother of Don and Eric and Ivanka. And I prayed for her. When I pray for people, the most important thing I pray for is that wherever they are, they will call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved, that he will be there with them. On Friday, I learned, I've never prayed for her before, that Ivana Trump, Wednesday, she'd been having trouble walking, and she fell down the steps, and she died. Look at that. The Holy Spirit will give you the gift of the word of wisdom. When you are witnessing to someone, explaining the Bible to that person you're trying to win, the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom to explain it properly. The Holy Spirit will give you the gift of faith. Now, everybody has a measure of faith because God wanted you to be saved, and without faith in Jesus, you cannot be saved. But the Holy Spirit gives a great gift of faith, a mountain-moving faith, because the just live by faith. There's a dog they let live by faith. If you are really saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't handle your money like regular Christians do. You go to the Bible. You do what it says, and everybody looks at you, what? You don't handle your body like other Christians do. You don't take the medicine. You don't need the operation. Doesn't mean you don't get sick, but there's stuff in there that you do, and you do, guess what? You get up every single time. You don't handle your relationships like other people. In other words, you have faith, and the faith moves that mountain every time so you can get on with God's work. Hallelujah. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Okay. If you have the gift of Holy Spirit, he gives you discernment of spirits. Now, many times, a person will ask you to pray for them. And of course you do. We're supposed to pray for one another. You want to. And you start to pray for them, and they've got a little ache here, or they've got a little gastrointestinal problem there or something, and they say, pray for this body. And the Holy Spirit says, nope, nope. It's a spiritual problem. This person inadvertently has opened a door to a demonic force. Maybe they're going to a place where the demons are pretending to be Holy Spirit, and that's what's causing it. See? In that way, you can pray for them. And so you recognize it's not always the Holy Spirit. You know it. You can turn on a dime, and you can tell it when they walk in the door. You can feel it. You can walk in a person. And that way, you help them. Discernment of spirits. If you're led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives you the gift of prophecy. This is where he tells you things to come. He will just show you things, and you'll know it's going to happen. Remember, Jesus said in Mark 13, I have foretold you all things. The Holy Spirit gives a gift of healing. Now, as we get closer and closer to the second coming of Jesus, the church is now being reformed by the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is taking over the real Christians. We're now getting to be like the book of Acts. I have found here lately, while I pray for people who are sick and they get healed, God heals them, I don't do it. I found the last two services, I always say, would anybody like to come up and I pray for them? And people said, I was sick when I came in here, but I'm already healed. I don't need you to pray for me. The anointing destroys the yoke, Isaiah 10. The word of God, the power of God coming through this little handmaid heals you. Be healed in Jesus' name. You come in and you're healed. Hallelujah. 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 And the Holy Spirit gives the gift of miracles. You stand over someone who's just died in a hospital bed, and you read the word of God, and you pray in the Holy Spirit, and the big eyes open up, and you say, do you know Jesus? And they say, no, but I would like to. The Holy Spirit raises from the dead. Been there, done that. And the Holy Spirit gives a gift of speaking in tongues, the language of the Holy Spirit. For you know not how to pray as you ought, when you live it up to Holy Spirit, when you need to praise him, when you got a problem, you don't know what to do. This week, I prayed about some things that are just so awesome. in my own ministry life, and I just didn't know how to say it, so I just prayed in the language. And he, when you pray in the language of the Holy Spirit, or you praise him in that, that prayer is perfect, because the Holy Spirit is God, and God is praying to God, and you get the answer. And then he often gives the gift of interpreting what you just said. Now you know why it's necessary for you to be led by the Holy Spirit. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Awesome.
Amen.
Word. And so necessary. See, we've got to have that now. You can't play games anymore, church. It's time, okay?
That's true.
Well, David left his stuff at the car. Does he could put his stuff in the bag? What is Scott's stuff?
And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and for their children after them. Jeremiah 32, 38, and 39.
Absolutely beautiful.
Amen.
One heart, one heart, one heart.
One way.
And we'll all be one, the body of Christ, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, eternal life. Thank you.
Amen.
That's great. Great, Scott. Before I pray for the sick, anybody in the world who's not saved, the Lord loves you. Won't you pray this prayer with me? But you've got to mean it. Just because you pray the prayer of salvation does not save you. When you pray the prayer of salvation, something happens. If it's real, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's the next step. So you better check yourself. Just praying it, a parrot could do that. So pray it, open it up, mean it, let the Holy Spirit come in. Here we go.
Amen.
Dear God, in Jesus' name, I have sinned.
Dear God, in Jesus' name, I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Baptize me right now with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me right now with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me. In Jesus' name. Roll me in your word. And put me where you want me in your church. And use me to win many souls to Jesus. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Now, for those of you all over the world, dear friends, I love you and I'm praying for you by nation and by name when I have it. If you prayed that prayer, you need to tell someone. The book of Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. I invite you to tell me. You have my telephone number. Feel free to call that number. It's my voicemail. Leave a confession there. And, of course, when I get it, I will pray for you. And welcome to the family of God.
Amen.
And now I want to pray for the sick. Hoshokatia. In the name and the power of Jesus. There is someone, your energy level has just gone down, down, down. You're eating your fruits and vegetables. You don't drink, and you don't chew, and you don't do drugs. But you have no energy, and you're always getting sick. In the name and the power of Jesus, you have opened a door somewhere you didn't mean to. Getting saved's not enough. Open the Word of God. Confess the Word of God, and the Lord renews your strength as the eagles. He renews your youth as the eagles. You run, you're not weary. You walk, you do not faint. He increases your strength, and you go from strength to strength. There's someone else with blood clots. They are actually blocking and causing damage to your blood clots. In the name of Jesus, we ask the Son of Christ to rise with healing in your wings. We ask that the blood clots just be diluted there, disintegrated, and the blood flow perfectly through the veins and through the arteries in the name and the power of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Pick up your bed and walk. You shall not die, but live and declare the works of God.
Amen.
Glory to God, you are healed in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friend. On Calvary, there for you and for me. I love you too with all my heart. I'm looking forward to the next time you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station, your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Strength to face the day, and in your presence, all our fears are washed away. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day, and in your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away.
Save us, worthy of all our me, Lord. But if I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known, tell me, Lord, did I ever do that was worth love from you or the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus, you know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I could ever repay what I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I could show someone else what I've learned myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus, you know what I am. And now that I know I needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands. Help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands.
You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Singers and the teachers to string the perfect words together. But every single time I have to say goodbye, I wonder will this be the last time. I can't call myself your friend and walk away. When we love, we earn the right to speak the truth. When we speak truth, we show the world we truly love. I'm not pointing my finger, I'm holding out my hand. I lay it all on the line now to see God save my friend. Let my life and my words be the proof, I'm gonna love you with the truth. When we love, we earn the right to speak the truth. When we speak truth, we show the world we truly love. I'm not pointing my finger, I'm holding out my hand. I lay it all on the line now to see God save my friend. Let my
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station, WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Prayer is a partnership.
Dr. Tony Evans says sincere prayer isn't a one-way request. It's a two-way conversation.
Prayer was never meant to be a monologue, but a dialogue.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Sometimes when we pray, we only think we're talking to God. Dr. Evans says that's because we don't understand what prayer really is. Let's join him as he offers us some precautions for prayer.
The disciples never asked Jesus to teach them to preach, to teach them to do miracles, to teach them to heal the sick, to teach them to have the blind see, to teach them how to make the lame walk. But the one thing they did ask him is, will you teach us to pray? In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, because they saw every time that Jesus prayed, something happened. Something supernatural took place every time he prayed. And so they were saying, show us how to do that. How do you make that contact with God that makes things happen on earth? We want to set the table today through the guidance and precautions that God gives us before we get to the details of the prayer itself, because what I'm going to share with you today will set the table. It will establish the concept for prayer, hopefully at a level that will turn it from a boring exercise for many into an exciting opportunity for most. He starts off in verse 5 and says, and when you pray, not and if you pray. There is an assumption as Jesus talks to his disciples that if you are a follower of Christ, you are a praying follower of Christ. It's when you pray. So let's start with an assumption. The assumption of Jesus is that if you are a Christian and you are a follower of Christ, prayer is part of your lifestyle. It is not something you're considering whether you do or not. It's when you pray. And then we're introduced to this dominant word called prayer. It's a word we all use. It's a word we all reference. But let's get to a basic understanding of the term. Biblical prayer is simply defined as relational communication with God. When people go to God for what they want without a concern about the cultivation of the father-child relationship, then they want to use God, not relate to God. And nobody likes being used. So prayer is relational communication with God. Why do I have relational communication with God? Because I need up there to do something down here. I need eternity to enter time. I need heaven to enter history. I need God to come into the context of man. But God does not want to do that outside of a relationship. Prayer is relational communication with God. So when you pray, you are talking to God. He says, I don't want you to be like the hypocrites, because the hypocrites pray in public. The Greek word for hypocrite is a word that was used of Greek theater. You've seen it on television where the actor would take a mask on a stick and put it in front of his face to play a part. Then when they switch parts, they put down this mask, put up this mask to play another part. Then they would put that down and they would go get. So you could have one person playing five or six parts by just picking up a mask and putting it over the face. In other words,